Dan Levy was 10 in 1968, too young to participate in the counterculture of the 60s. But he says the ideas of the time helped shape him. Now in his early 30s, he's trying to expose a new generation to some of those ideas. Levy is editor of Citadel Underground Press. It's a new series of paperback books linked together by their connection to the American counterculture. So far, they've reissued three titles: Red Dirt Marijuana by Terry Southern, Moving Through Here by the late Village Voice journalist Don McNeil, and Ringolivio, the autobiography of Emmett Grogan. Grogan was a founder of the Diggers, a San Francisco group that predates the hippies. They ran a free store and led street theater actions. New books are also planned, including a biography of Neil Cassady. Levy is a devoted Grateful Dead fan. He says the idea for the series came to him at a Grateful Dead concert. Surrounded by tie-dye, he started thinking about what the younger Deadheads didn't know about the 60s.
What I'm hoping to get across through the books that we've selected for the series has to do with counteracting the media image of the 60s and of bohemia in general, which tends to survive, the kinds of things that keep people stuck in thinking nostalgically about those times. I feel like the books that I've chosen often serve as a kind of antidote to nostalgia. They're much more gritty, much more about the texture of the time, much more sobering in presenting the truth of experiences with on the fringe of sex and drugs and rock and roll, and much less about a kind of stereotypical experience.
How are you deciding what books to bring out? You have a board of directors, don't you?
It's really a board of advisors. It's a board of ambassadors.
Right, okay.
I tend to hear about books from all kinds of people, and I tend to select the ones that are sort of the least politically correct and the ones that are that really might offend some other of my advisors, because I want to create a sense of not putting together a package that neatly represents the 60s or the 50s, but rather one that keeps people's ideas and imagination open for how they can express in their lives now and in the future some of that same spirit.
Give me an example of a book that you've picked that's alienated some of your own advisors.
This fall we're publishing a book by Jane Alpert called Growing Up Underground. Jane was a nice Jewish girl from Queens who graduated with honors from Swarthmore in 1967 and moved to New York City, promptly quit her job in a publishing company to move in with a radical named Sam Melville. Over the next couple of years, they ended up conspiring to bomb a number of buildings, including the draft board in New York. Jane skipped bail and went underground for 4.5 years and came out. And her experience of thinking more clearly about what her motivations to bomb buildings really were tends to have really angered the people who felt that she had betrayed them when she gave herself up in 1974 and went to jail for a couple of years. So almost everybody that knows her story has an acutely strong feeling today about whether what she did was right or not. And the book was received with a great deal of controversy when it was first published, and I hope it will be now as well.
Another book that's alienating some of your own people?
Ringolivio has very clearly done that. Emmett Grogan was an enormously complicated figure in real life, and the way he represented his own experiences is so much the stuff of myth that people who expect Ringolivio to represent true history get very angry by Emmett's representation of those things. Todd Gitlin, for instance, who's a fine historian and sociologist of the period, was very suspicious of my choice of Ringolivio because he was there the day that Emmett and Peter Berg crashed an SDS meeting in Michigan and disrupted an entire meeting. There's probably no better example of conflicting tribes in the 60s than the SDS and the Diggers. But the way Emmett remembers that event in Ringolevio is so much at odds with the way Todd remembers it and writes about it in his book about the 60s that Todd might never forgive us for having published that book. But I think it was the right thing to do.
Did you have a hard time selling the idea of this series? Were publishers, or are publishers, skeptical that anyone's going to want to buy the books?
Not only are publishers skeptical, but lots of people are skeptical. Asserting that the counterculture is alive today is something that provokes almost everybody that I come across to some kind of emotional reaction, from great enthusiasm and a kind of utopian fantasy that maybe those ideas and feelings that one had of possibility still might be there, to a good deal of contempt. That's how I know that we're on the right track. Publishing certainly has its fashions, and it really hasn't been fashionable to focus on subculture for a long time, but it hasn't been fashionable in life to do that either. And for me, I can't deny that my hopes about the success and the reception of the book series have to do with my hopes for the reception of these ideas into the culture and my desire to sort of spark people to think about what it was like when they did see infinite possibility in their lives.
Are there any books related to the 60s that were very popular but you really wouldn't want to bring out even if you could afford to?
Yes. And it isn't really so much about affording them. I am quite deliberately not choosing books that serve more as artifacts than they do as tools for thinking about the future.
Can you give me some examples?
Well, for instance, I think The Greening of America or The Making of a Counterculture are both books that were very important to people, and they sold for a reason, which is that they really did inspire people to move forward. But frankly, I don't think they have the same kind of juice running through them so that an 18-year-old kid picking it up could feel like it was anything other than something that rested at that moment in time.
Now, you were born in 1958, right?
Yes.
Which made you 10 in 1968. So you were basically a kid at the height of the 60s counterculture. Do a lot of the people who you're working with find it unusual that you've taken this series on? And do a lot of people have the attitude, well, what do you know? I mean, you know, you're talking about the stuff you were a kid then.
Not really. I think that people who lived through it and for whom it lives on in a positive way know that it doesn't really have to do with age or even having experienced specific events. Having been a little kid while all of this was happening meant that I experienced those events. I experienced the war. I experienced hair getting longer every year and kids getting more rebellious every year and the air getting cloudier with pot every year from a much more heroic, mythic point of view. It didn't really have very much to do with what my life was like at that time, but it certainly had to do with how I wanted my life to be. And I think, frankly, it's made it easier for me to keep the spirit growing and alive for myself. What that's tended to mean, I think, is that the people who've found themselves attracted to the work we're doing are people who are glad that somebody's taken up the battle, that they might be too far along in life to feel like there's any possibility that they could really wage by themselves.
When was the last time you went to a Grateful Dead concert? Are you still a Deadhead?
Yeah, I am. The last Grateful Dead concert I saw was on July 14th in Boston. Saturday night, I'm seeing them in Cleveland, and then they're coming for six nights to New York City, and I'll be at all of those shows as well.
What keeps you going with that?
Well, there are a number of factors. For one thing, the Grateful Dead are brilliant musicians who rely on improvisation and making things new. And there is also a spirit of real enduring commitment to growth in the way that they do their music and in the way that a fan has to appreciate them. There certainly have been years when they were stale for 2 or 3, 4 years at a time, and yet 25 years into it, they have been able over the last couple of years to summon up a kind of passion that is really unparalleled in their history. It's been so exciting over the last couple of years to hear it that it inspires me very much in the rest of my life to know that I don't have to have it all tied up and wrapped up and perfectly together today, because I'm going to have the chance over the course of my entire life to mess up and fix it back up again over and over again.
Dan Levy is editor of Citadel Underground Press.